I think it's been a huge advantage for our patients. When we talked about predicting the risk of recurrence, we focused on a small number of pretty simple factors: lymph nodes, tumor size, estrogen receptor, HER2 receptor, and the tumor grade. Those are very important things, but they're pretty simple things. What has been possible over the last couple of years is to get, in essence, the fingerprint of genes that a tumor expresses. So the Oncotype DX test looks not just at two or three or four factors, it looks at 21 different genes that are expressed in breast cancers. These are not genes that are inherited or passed in families. These are genes that all breast cancers have, just to a greater or lesser degree. So it measures all 21 and then puts them through a complicated mathematical formula. So not all of these genes are given the same importance or the same weight. But at the end of that formula, it spits out a number. And that number can be anywhere from 0 to 100.
And that's called the recurrence score.
That's called the recurrence score. And this was done initially, and currently it only applies to the group of patients that we have the most difficulty in making decisions about chemotherapy. And those would be the patients who have estrogen-positive tumors that don't involve the lymph nodes. And the reason the decisions about chemotherapy are so difficult for that group of women is, as a group, they have a very low risk of recurrence, and they get benefit from hormone therapy. So the improvements that we get with chemotherapy can range from 1 to 3 to 4%. And if you think about whether a 2% improvement in your chances of being alive, that may mean a difference of going from 90% to 92% justifies the side effects of chemotherapy, that's not a particularly easy or a particularly comfortable question for patients or oncologists. So when this test was developed, it focused on that group. And what they found was that recurrence score number that goes from 0 to 100 predicted very nicely what was the risk of recurrence in those patients if they were treated with tamoxifen alone, if they didn't get chemotherapy. And the first year the test was available, that's all we knew. And quite honestly, I didn't find that very helpful. Because if you just told me this woman has a higher risk of recurrence with tamoxifen alone than what I might have otherwise predicted, I didn't know what to do with that. You're going to make me worry, but I didn't know if that's a patient who really needs chemotherapy. Is this someone who needs a different form of hormone therapy? Or is this someone who has aggressive breast cancer who's going to have a high risk of recurrence no matter what I do? Since then, we've done this test in patients treated in a different study that looked at directly comparing tamoxifen alone or tamoxifen with chemotherapy. And I think that's what made this a particularly helpful test for us. So from that study, we know that women who have a low recurrence score, so totals of 18 or lower, not only had a very low risk of recurrence on tamoxifen alone, they didn't seem to derive any benefit from adding chemotherapy. Now, women on the other side who had a high recurrence score, higher than 31, had a much higher risk of recurrence on tamoxifen alone than we otherwise would have predicted, but they also had a huge benefit from chemotherapy, more than 25% absolute improvement in their risk of recurrence by adding a pretty simple older chemotherapy regimen. Now, what was important about this is about half the women fell into that low-risk group. About a quarter fell into the high-risk group. So for this group of women who I otherwise would have had to struggle with whether 2 or 3% was worthwhile, half of them get the pleasure of hearing me say, you don't need chemotherapy at all, and your risk of recurrence is very low. A quarter of them don't like me much because they hear they really need chemotherapy, but the good news is they get a huge benefit. And with chemotherapy, their risk of recurrence becomes almost as good as the low-risk women. It's just that they need chemotherapy to get there. And unfortunately, we're left with the group of women in the middle, intermediate recurrence scores, where we're still not sure, where they probably don't get much benefit from chemotherapy, but it might not be zero. It might be in that 2 to 3% range that we struggle with. So that's the group now that is the focus of a recently opened trial to directly compare hormone therapy or hormone therapy with chemotherapy. But it makes decisions that used to be tough for everybody only difficult for about a quarter of those women.
Now, what about patients who have tumors that are node positive or that are estrogen receptor negative? Can the Oncotype test be used in those patients?
At this point, no. We certainly wonder what the relative importance we should give to something like the Oncotype test in women who are estrogen positive but have involvement of some lymph nodes. And that just has not been studied yet. So currently the test is really only appropriate for women who are estrogen positive and lymph node negative. There are studies looking at this test in women with positive lymph nodes to try and see what it might add to our information and how it might help us in decisions for those women. The test really would not be appropriate for women whose tumors are estrogen negative, because a big component of that score has to do with the estrogen positivity in genes that are related to estrogen. But we're working on trying to develop a similar test in tumors that are estrogen negative, but we expect different genes will be important, so it will need a different test. But we're trying to develop the same thing to help those women in their decisions.